Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here, producer number five today. Jeff, we're already smiling. Why? Because the intro was different this morning?
It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. We're going up from here, Gil.
We figured it out. We got on here. Good morning, everybody. How you doing, party people? We got a good show today. Wes Reynolds will join us at the very end to talk United States Open with us. He is hosting the Lombardi Line today, or part of the crew that's hosting the Lombardi Line, so he'll join us for the last segment. Paul Sporer on Major League Baseball. Get his thoughts some 60-plus games into the season on who he thinks could be in and out of the postseason this early. We'll take a look at that. Andy McNeil on the Stanley Cup playoffs. This just in, Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup final specifically still going on, as the Lanch win by a touchdown on Saturday. 2-0 in the best of seven Stanley Cup finals. Is this the end of the remarkable 3-year run of the Tampa Bay Lightning? We'll get Andy's thoughts on that. Bradley Porras, who has joined us two straight weeks now to talk college baseball. College World Series in full swing. Lost one of our four futures, the Texas Longhorns. That's okay. That's what we said. We said Texas and Stanford, we thought, were the shakiest of the bunch. Still got three going in the very sort of hard-to-explain-on-radio format of the College World Series, which is a combination of double elimination and best of three. That continues today with two more games. We'll get some action for you today in both of those. I know I have a play in the first game, that's for sure. Might sit back and watch the second one. We'll hear what Brad has to say. We begin today, though, and Joe Pita standing by momentarily to talk to us about the U.S. Open. We begin today with the 122nd. United States Open, Brookline, Mass at the Country Club. Jeff, were you a winner or loser this weekend in golf? I was not a winner. I lost money on it.
I ended up because my biggest bet of Morikawa top 20 got home.
Ooh, nice.
So that was good. It was one of those where the record was under 500, but because the bet was bigger on the top 20, we ended up okay. But that 77 on Saturday is going to stick with me for a little bit.
He might have won it were it not for that. I had Scheffler and Burns down the stretch. Burns crapped out early on Sunday. I had Scheffler down the stretch. The first few holes of that back nine just spooked out Scheffler, and it did so more than just yesterday, and he could not get over it. But in case you missed it again, it really did come down to a mano-a-mano between both of the – well, Scheffler was in there too, and so was Matsuyama, who posted an unbelievable 5-under yesterday. But it came down to the final – I would say probably the back nine more accurately yesterday between Matthew Fitzpatrick and Will Zalatoris, neither of whom had ever won, forget a major, a PGA Tour event. And on the 11th hole, Zalatoris, par 311, Zalatoris, they were tied, Zalatoris and Fitzpatrick. Zalatoris rolls in an 18-footer for birdie. Fitzpatrick makes a mess of it, three putts from 17 feet. Two-shot swing, Willie Z's up two. 12th hole, Willie Z gives back one with a missed fairway and a bogey at 12, setting the stage for Fitzpatrick to sink a 50-footer on 13. And that's when you might have, pardon me, had the first indication that this was going to be Matthew Fitzpatrick's tournament. No one saw that coming. Those two were tied on 15. Fitzpatrick then drains a birdie putt from 19 feet for a two-shot lead. At that point, this was just sort of a – and this and the reason it was a two-shot lead is because Will Zalatoris put it on the right side of the fairway, then put it in a bunker, fairway bunker. By the time he got out, he could only two-putt afterwards, so he bogeyed 15. Two-shot lead. Zalatoris got one back, and then on 18 with a one-stroke lead, the shot that will perhaps be remembered more than any, Fitzpatrick goes into a fairway bunker behind a sort of an indent in the grass that put him right behind this mound, but he did have just enough room to the left of that to take a shot at the green, and a shot he took, put it within, well, what was it, 18 feet of the hole. All he needed was a two-putt, and he got it. Zalatoris made a run at a putt to force a playoff, but could not quite get there. We bring in Joe Pita to discuss 2019 Masters Preview. Joe Pita's tour guide presents a 2019 Masters Preview. Of course, the book that he wrote, The Definitive Analytics Take on the Masters. Joe, good morning to you, first of all. It was from that research on the Masters through the years, though, that you had an indication of Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, right. I don't do the deep dives on tournament by tournament like I was back in 17, 18, and 19. But that's right. Hey, you got the tweet there. And in fact, on 20 And on the PGA, the same thing. There were three guys in the mid-tier based on, you know, some of that Masters data that I loved, and it was Fitz, Neiman, and Willie Z. And, you know, it showed up there in the top, you know, in sort of my top five call for the U.S. Open, too. I did not have a futures ticket on Will Z, though. Unfortunately, his performance in the PGA brought down his price that I actually passed on him, and I passed on Rahm, too. So I only had three, you know, pre-flop bets going. I had Neiman, Cantley, and of course, Fitz. And, man, would have been much less of a sweat. Certainly Saturday when it looked like it might be Rahm challenging those two, and then Sunday when it was, those two, like you say, and Scheffler. But I think, Jill, it's so much fun to talk about what a great tournament that was.
Yeah.
It was so entertaining from a viewer standpoint. You were talking about the 18th, and you and I are old enough to remember this. I know on the broadcast, or maybe it was on Live From afterwards, they were talking about Sandy Lyle winning a major with a shot out of a bunker on 18 at the Masters. I don't really remember that, but I remember a U.S. Open shot on the 18th hole that was also pure stones, just like Fitz yesterday. And that was what the 1995 U.S. Open at Shinnecock, when Corey Pavin, another small, diminutive guy, was kind of the best player on the tour not to have won a major. And he took out a three wood from the fairway. You know, it's the kind of shot that would never be taken anymore. You know, nobody's hitting three woods into, you know, par fours anymore. It might have been a par five. And I think it was from like 230. And he, you know, stoned on the screws, a three wood from the fairway between a little narrow opening between, you know, all the fescue and the bunker, you know, laden green, and it won him the U.S. Open. And that kind of reminded me of Fitz's shot yesterday.
Yeah. By the way, Corey Pavin, a golfer that sort of gets lost in history. No one really brings him up that often. And in my mind's eye, I'm picturing John Oates from Hall & Oates when I'm trying to picture Corey Pavin.
The Brillo head.
Sort of similar in their look. What I was referring to, obviously, was what we showed up on the tweet there. There's Joe's picks. That he included Will Zalatoris and Matthew Fitzpatrick among his six, but also just the distance, the length that Fitzpatrick, which they referred to often on the broadcast yesterday and throughout the weekend, how Fitzpatrick had just really stepped up his game with that, and he gets it done for not only, again, his first major, but just his first tour win ever. And
Gil, you were leading me right into that distance thing, and I'm sorry I got off the
track. That's okay.
Yeah, so for the Masters, so this is interesting. Fitz has played in the Masters every year since 16, which is when I have data, now the strokes gained data going forward. And entering 2020, he was like one of my top picks, because from 16 through 19, it was very clear every year he putted so well. In fact, I had him ranked second to Cam Smith in terms of, you know, sort of short game consistency. And we know how important that is at the Masters. If you tend to putt those greens well, you tend to repeatedly putt them well. And if you don't, i.e. Justin Thomas, you just can't seem to figure it out. So, but then in 2020, I think that was the November Masters, and I had Fitz as like one of my top three picks. And as I got more data after 2020, I realized, man, he's just too much of a liability off the tee. Yes, he's very straight, but he is at such a disadvantage on every hole that you're relying on his short game just to catch up to these guys. And if any of the long hitters are having good days on the green, he's just never going to get there. So I completely dropped him from, you know, Masters consideration in both 2021 and 2022. And then there I am at the end of April this year, you know, again, as you know, I hand do all the calculations for strokes gained at the Masters. And I'll be darn if Matthew Fitzpatrick is the number one leader in strokes gained off the tee at the Masters. I couldn't believe it. And there you have a tweet up showing his improvement from 16 to 20, his average. And this is just pure yardage, so there's not strokes gained here. But it's just his pure yardage and then yardage left after drive. And you can see The improvement started in 2021 and it continued in 2022, so that after 2022, he'd actually gained on average, well, not, you know, it's right there. He gained 1,000 yards off the tee over 56 drives from his what was a very solid baseline, right? Like, guys don't do this.
Right.
And it was, and it, you know, 1,000 yards over 56 drives, that's only 20, you know, you're like, ah, it's 20 yards a hole. That is huge. It is huge. It takes him from like 55th in distance to 7th. And that is leapfrogging so many people. And then the fact that he's still very accurate off the tee, being 7th in distance, actually got him to number one in terms of strokes gained off the tee in 2022. And when I saw that, you can't fake that. You can fake a lot of strokes gained from the fairway, you know, if you hole out, say, you know, for a tournament. And if you're sinking 50 footers, you can fake for a tournament strokes gained off the on the green putting. But you can't fake it off the tee because it's so incremental. It's 56 incremental performances. And so that's when I was like, oh, man, I'm going to like him for the PGA because he, you know, people aren't seeing this. And because he hasn't won, we're going to get some value on that futures play, et cetera. So that's kind of how, you know, I was on him the last two majors.
Yeah, I always ask a question of all of our guests, you know, who's the golfer that's going to win, that's going to induce the most self-loathing if they do, because you didn't end up betting him. We had Reed Fowler on from DraftKings earlier this week. Poor Reed and I were texting on Sunday, and his answer was Matthew Fitzpatrick, sadly. So his Father's Day, his first ever Father's Day, had a little ding into it. More with Joe Pita. We'll get his thoughts on who else he learned the most about, either to the good or the bad, at the U.S. Open, and what his thoughts might be for the British. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander still to come. We'll talk college baseball with Brad Porras, hockey with Andy McNeil. Wes Reynolds will join us, baseball with Paul Sporer. I have some my preliminary NBA draft comments, Jeff, if you will. I have a macro NBA draft bet that I think is fascinating that's out there. And again, we'll step up our NBA draft. NBA draft is not quite like the NFL draft. We go crazy on the NFL draft. But NBA draft, which is on Thursday night, by the way, with the Orlando Magic holding the first pick and largely considered the top three guys, Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero. I got a thought on the number one pick market. Let's start there a little later on. Joe Pita, kind enough to continue with us, author of Joe Pita's Tour Guide Presents, a 2019 Masters Preview, where he literally wrote the book on Masters analytics, which was not public domain knowledge. Joe had to do the deep dive himself, manual entry from so much raw data, and it has sort of informed. Joe used to be a baseball-first guy, then he became a golf-first guy. At Magic Rat SF, for those of you who know Bruce Springsteen, a little tribute to him on his Twitter. Joe, you wanted to just sort of drive home why this was such a special event here.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about what makes a golf tournament entertaining, and this is unreal, because you want some variance, right? I think the holes to play slightly over par, but you'd like a certain amount of birdies to go with those bogeys, right? Because that's what creates variance. And as opposed to some U.S. Opens are just it's either par or bogey, and you're just it's whoever is slipping away the slowest ends up winning. Well, get this yesterday, Gil, from those top three guys. So because it really was a, you know, sort of a three-man race very quickly. The top three finishers, they had 15 birdies and 9 bogeys. So 15 birdies, that's some excitement. But here's the best part. Those 15 birdies were on 14 different holes. So there were no dead holes in the tournament. And that means that there were no double bogeys. Those three guys, Fitz, Z, and Scheffler, They shot a best ball 14 under par 56.
Because it was so spread out like that.
Because it was so spread out. And in fact, only hole 14 and 18 didn't feature a birdie or a bogey. So, and we know how exciting 18 was, right?
Right.
And Scheffler had birdie putts, makeable birdie putts on 14 and 18. And of course, all three of them had makeable birdie putts on 18. So every hole had excitement. It had, you know, meaning. It, and that is, that's a credit to the setup. I think we've, you know, the USGA has taken some well-deserved criticism in the past, but that is just brilliant setup when you've got, you know, the three of the top 5 to 10 players in the world, you know, trading haymakers like that.
It's I'm so glad you brought that up, because we often, you know, especially those of us who bet on it, we bet on it. Next, you know, that tournament ends, next tournament comes, and we're already moving along. But just as sports fans and bettors, we really do need to stop and appreciate that, because it was almost the perfect amount of inclement weather too early. Right, wind and a little precipitation, where it just made it perfect in the end, that it played as brilliantly, as you said, as tough as U.S. Opens by brand are supposed to be, but just playable enough where you could score. And Hideki Matsuyama, again, with the 5-under yesterday, right? So, like, some golfers got there in the end. But that's brilliant. Those three guys, if they were playing a best ball, it was spread out that they were killing it. Okay, final two things on this. One, besides the three guys at the top, and don't remind me about Scheffler's opportunities at the end, because that really stung for me. Who are the guys you learned the most about on the big stage, either to the good or the bad? Is it there's Xander Schauffele not competing, you know, not getting there again. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Patrick Cantlay.
Who stood out to you?
Yeah, Cantlay and X, they are interesting. You know, I don't really believe that they get nervous in majors. And certainly Xander has a much better major record than Cantlay does. But there is something strange about Cantlay that just can't seem to put it together at majors. So those two guys, I think what we learned the most, Gil, is the PGA Tour is so, so good right now. There are 20 guys, a dozen to two dozen guys who are so good that I think from a futures market, you know, I know that Mito came close at the PGA, but man, you need so much to go right for anybody, you know, in the 50 to one or more. I just kind of feel like those are all wasted tickets because these top guys are so good that one of them or two or three are going to play well enough that just prevents anybody else that's really, you know, catching lightning in a bottle and only has to beat one guy, right? So I think that's the big thing. There aren't too many under the radar guys, but looking forward, I still think Joaquin Niemann is still the guy that has a lot of the same skills of, you know, the guys that now are no longer cheap, Cam Smith, Fitz, Willie Z, like they're not cheap anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that Niemann is still the guy that has value for us going forward. That's kind of the last one on my list to check off.
Yeah, and Will Zalatoris, who now has 3 second places in majors, he is not at all in that Xander group. Like, we really expect Zalatoris to win his share of majors moving forward. It came into my mind and slipped out. Oh, here we go. Is Sam Burns, and this was also witnessed by the fact that NBC refused to show him no matter what, which was interesting because he was basically with the same score as Rory early in the day yesterday, and they were a pairing, and they were like, we're not going to show Sam at all, just to let you know, we're going to show nothing but Rory all day. Is he the one guy that there seems to be a disconnect between market price and actual skill level? It just seems to me that he's just that weird anomaly.
Yeah, I think so, Gil. It's not that much of a difference of a year between Scheffler and he, except Scheffler's done it in bigger events, right? So, and of course, that's more important, but, you know, on a stroke per stroke basis, yeah, Sam Burns is right up there with these other guys. And yes, there probably is value on him. And you're right. I had a small play on him yesterday for round 4 versus Rory. And you're right. I had to go to the web to watch what he was doing because
so
they didn't
blatant.
Show him at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right about that.
Okay. And then the Open Championship, which again, with this new golf schedule, it's 3 weeks from now, the Open Championship, which we used to call as kids the British Open. It's the Open Championship, of course, which has always been called. Have you thought about who might be, tailor-made, if you will, no pun intended, for that course? And does your old guy Tiger Woods factor in this time around?
God, I wish he would, right? There's, I guess, been four events there sort of in my, not lifetime. There's been more than that at St. Andrews. But the four most recent that go back 30 years are John Daly, Tiger, and then Oosthuizen. And Louis doesn't kind of fit the profile of Tiger, Daly, right? Because you kind of think of, the ball rolls so much there that the bombers, if they can keep it out of the sand traps, bombers have a big advantage there. So that's certainly how I'll look. So again, it will be a lot of this driving stuff. And again, Cantlay and Rahm would jump up to the top for me there, but I'll have to look at it. I will certainly be, I believe, putting more emphasis on, who puts together 56 tiny advantages versus the field with those 14 drives around, right? Because like I say, that's the incremental pickup. And, yes, you take more iron shots and yes, hot putters matter and all, but there's a lot more variance from tournament to tournament than the guys who are driving well in all the majors. So that's kind of where I will start my work.
Yeah. And wind obviously playing a factor traditionally at the Open Championship and specifically at St. Andrews. Did I just hear, just to clarify as we go out, did I hear, to use the horse racing term, that Tiger felt like a throwout to you?
Oh, no. I wish he would do well. Oh, God. No, definitely. I don't even know how that came out.
Yeah.
He's so good there. I just hope he's healthy, and it's kind of flat there, right? So hopefully he will not have the hill issues that he had at Southern Hills and at Augusta.
Okay. It didn't come out there. Maybe I misunderstood the beginning of that. Okay. So we look forward to it. Maybe we'll chat before that. Joe, I appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Once again, if you're interested, if you're a golf nerd and you're interested in sort of Masters breakdown, 2019 Masters preview, still an interesting read for those who enjoy the data of it. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Pita, everybody, at Magic Rat SF. Thoughts on the U.S. Open, which was, as Joe said, just highly entertaining. Didn't work out from a betting perspective for me, but I hope it did for you. We'll come back. College baseball, got to play on that. Brad Porras joins us next on The Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Visa Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything Visa has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today and you'll get Visa's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full Visa experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeff, did you make any USFL bets this season?
Yeah, I made one the first week.
Yeah.
It lost.
Yeah.
And then I was done.
That was it.
That was it.
A documented 0-1.
An 0-1, and that's it.
Jeff Parlay.
Yep.
On Primetime Action. I don't know why. We were doing a USFL segment earlier in the literally, I couldn't even remember who the guest was. He was a fine guest, but I just don't remember. We were doing a USFL segment. And Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin just decided, I don't know if Kelly jumped on, but Matt decided, you know what, I'm going to put it in a futures bet on the Philadelphia Stars. Something the guy said made him want to do that. 6-1. They're in the semis.
He's live.
He's
very
live.
Much live.
This weekend, semis, USFL. Fun. Speaking of sports that we don't often bet, in this case, because the College Baseball World Series only comes this time of year in the college postseason, if you will, this past month, but oh, the profitability of this potentially, and already really has been on a game-to-game basis. Three of our four futures still alive. We bring in Brad Porras once again, who played college baseball down at A&M Corpus Christi back in the day. How you doing, Brad?
What's going on, Gil? I'm doing good. I got my my college baseball buddy here on my lap today, my little newborn. He's asleep, so you know your voice is, you know, calming, soothing. Whenever Parlay hops on, it kind of startles him a little bit. But, you know.
we'll tell Jeff to pipe it down a little bit just for this segment. So, Brad, here's the thing. This has been wildly entertaining. Obviously, Major League Baseball going on. We're more used to talking about that. But obviously, again, we got on this before the regionals, where there were 64 teams, then the Super Regionals, 16, and now at Omaha, there's 8. Well, there's 7 now. Texas has been eliminated. Let me just commend you. That's the first thing you, I think, have gotten really right, which was, of the 8 teams remaining, the 2 short shots, and we'll see if Stanford can remain alive today. They're in an elimination game situation, which we'll get to momentarily. But you were right. Texas and Stanford at the top, probably the most shaky in terms of pitching.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, like we went over in Texas, 2 frontline starters, but after that, nothing really. And then, you know, at Stanford, we saw what happened again, and kicking myself for, you know, not wanting to fade it or whatever. And I'm kicking myself. You asked me, I know I'm switching gears, but just going back to kind of hitting it, you said, you know, if you get dropped on before this first game won, what's the one game you look at you think you like? And I was like, oh, I hate to say it, but Oklahoma, Bennett's been so good, and Nathan Detmer for A&M's been so shaky. I love A&M, but he's been so shaky. And it's just, you could, lots of these pitchers, like with Texas, they're pitching the last 2 or 3 weeks that they've performed, it hasn't really changed. You know, same with Ole Miss, and the way that their pitching staff has been so good, it hasn't really changed. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's and here's the thing, though. The dogs have been getting home. The overs, by and large, we moved from Rosenblatt Stadium, where they traditionally played the College World Series in Omaha. That hasn't really made a difference with these totals. Stanford-Auburn is the first game today. It is also an elimination game, this one in bracket 2. Texas A&M was an elimination game yesterday, and Texas is donezo. So the loser of this Stanford-Auburn game is out. That will be their double elimination. Stanford is the favorite, minus 150. The total we're showing is 12.5. I actually played the over 12 earlier today with the increased juice on that. What do you like in the first game?
I'm with you. I'm on over 12 as well. That's it. Okay, so you went back to the Rosenblatt. Yes, Rosenblatt was home run fest and totals were over. And then when we moved into this big park, it was all unders and not – yes, because of the park being bigger and being in a different location, but the balls and the bats were dead. You know, back whenever I played, I'm just going to blame it on it. You know, the power numbers down. Dead balls, dead bats. But this is the first year that the balls have been hot. There's something going on, just like it was in Major League Baseball a few years ago, where the balls are hot. And like I was trying to say, I was like, maybe, you know, I was thinking the Aces could hold it down. But we saw early, we were watching the A&M game, ball was hopping out of the park. I was like, nope. You got to switch to overs. This park doesn't matter. It's all about the balls, and I think you nailed it. Day games, the balls are flying a little bit more in the heat. Stanford can hit. You know, Dylan DeLucia absolutely shoved on Auburn, but that team can hit. You know, Stanford hasn't pitched well. I don't see why or how we can't not get over 12 in the game today at 1.
You're staying away from the side, though?
Yeah, okay, it's because Stanford should be the favorite, right? They should. They're the number 2 seed. Their offense is powerful. But should they be a 160 favorite? You know, they've been really inconsistent. Pac-12?
Yeah.
Auburn beat Oregon State. Like, is the Pac-12 really that good? It wouldn't surprise. I'm not going on it, but it wouldn't surprise me if Auburn beats them. Am I going to lay a 155, 160, something like that, with an inconsistent team? No, I don't know if the Pac-12 is really that good.
We have a second game today. It's a winner's bracket game. And again, this is very difficult to sort of explain on the radio without the visual of this. And even the visual then becomes so small where it's hard to follow. But you essentially have 8 teams currently in a double elimination situation. But it's not quite that simple, because then, like, winners continue in one route and then losers have to play someone who wins. Essentially, if you go 3-0, 4-1 or 3-1 in some cases, you will get to the championship best of three. Yesterday, Oklahoma beat Notre Dame. So essentially the Sooners are one win away, and they have two chances, one win away from getting in to the best of three college baseball championship. Oklahoma's in that position. The winner of this Arkansas-Ole Miss game later tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, that winner will also be in that same situation. So this is a monster game between the Razorbacks and the Rebel, and the Rebels of Ole Miss, and it is a coin flip. And, Brad, I'll be honest with you. From everything we've seen, and we have, just a full disclosure, Ole Miss at 100-1. From everything we've seen, this is a justifiable coin flip, isn't it?
Yeah. I've tried to cut this thing up different ways, and I always come back to, I don't know. And I'm just going to put this out there. I think whoever wins tonight wins the whole dang thing, Gil. I really do. I'm super nervous about tonight's game. I really do, because I'm nothing against any of the teams on the other side. You know, I've been in the tank for the Aggies, but it's going to be really hard for them to beat Oklahoma. But with all that being said, I think Ole Miss and Arkansas are the best two teams right now. And not that either one of them can't come back and double dip the other one, but it's really hard. So to put yourself in the position to have to be double dipped, and once you get in the finals, I think these two teams are clearly better than Oklahoma, who is looking like they're going to be the ones in it. So that's what makes you really nervous for tonight. I mean, drop me off, like you said. I hope I don't curse it again. Drop me off out of this planet. And tonight's game, everything being said,
yes.
I feel like you gotta go Arkansas. But if it moves either way, if Ole Miss becomes a dog in this game, I'll be on Ole Miss. If Arkansas becomes a dog in this game, I will not be on Arkansas, because I just can't do that to myself. But I would not blame anybody if they do.
Yeah.
I really don't.
So Stanford-Auburn over is the play of the game. That's the early game, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Pacific. And it's so funny, too, because while everybody's watching hockey tonight, game three of the Stanley Cup Finals, I will be so locked into Arkansas. Ole Miss is not even funny.
Yeah.
Last two things before I let you go. One, Texas A&M Notre Dame tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's an elimination game. Again, we have A&M interest as well. Notre Dame's big favorite, -155. The total's 13, because I guess we're getting down the pitching rotation here as well.
Yep.
Any preliminary thoughts on that game?
Aggies on the money line. Give it to me all day.
Here, okay.
And the reason why, exactly what you said, the pitching is getting down the line. What is the strength of the Aggies? It's their bullpen. Their bullpen is really good. So if we're going to have, you know, bullpen game, I mean, and not everybody, I mean, we don't have a team like Tennessee had 2-3 All-American pitchers on their team. You know, Vanderbilt back in the day with Leiter and Kumar Rocker, All-Americans at the front. We don't have a team that's just stacked deep with All-American pitchers. So if we're going bullpen game, like, give me the Aggies bullpen. Like, I will die on that hill of the Aggies bullpen. And the Aggies can hit, too. So, I mean, if you're going to give me +120, 25, 130, 35 with the Aggies, all day, give me Texas A&M.
I like it. Stanford, Auburn over today, and the Aggies tomorrow against Notre Dame as a dog. Last thing as we go, just put you to the screws. Who's winning it all right now? If you didn't have any bets, who do you think is winning it all right now?
If I didn't have any... Oh, Gil.
We got to go. 10 seconds.
Arkansas.
Oh. Didn't want to hear that.
I know.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Bradley. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, yo.
Bradley,
all right.
Bradley Porras, P-O-R-R-A-S, on the Twitter machine. We'll come back. Andy McNeil on those Stanley Cup Finals. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code VSiN1000 and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM, state-of-the-art app offers a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. No matter what your favorite sport is, you'll find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code VSIN1000 to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Promotional offers, plural, not available in Nevada. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Phil Weiss, did you give up tennis? So funny. Did you go 1 week without giving tennis plays? Did you give up tennis? I did. I was asked by somebody on Twitter earlier this morning, did I have any tennis plays? And the answer was I still at that point had two left, Jensen Brooksby and Sarah Cerebes Tormo today. But the prices that existed this morning were far worse than the prices I had both players at last night. So there was really no reason to give those out because they were no longer playable. I think Cerebes Tormo was 20 cents worse. And I think Brooksby was 15 cents worse. Actually got Brooksby as a dog last night. So that's why I didn't give out any tennis plays this morning. But no, I haven't given up on tennis. And Wimbledon starts in a week. And in fact, the draw is on Friday. And we're doing a Beating the Book podcast, Wimbledon preview on Friday. Jason Kahn, producer number 7, hooking it up. Drew Dinsick and Dan Weston. Does it get better than that?
And Weston back from wherever his cruise was to?
Cruise on the greatest ship in the world. He showed me the website for the cruise ship he was on. My goodness. What a life. By the way, you know who else might be in studio this week? Pamela Maldonado is going to be in Vegas this week. Maybe she'll,
oh, that's nice.
Maybe she'll talk some Wimbledon with us as well. And this from a Craig Parlay. Do you know anything about a Craig Parlay, Jeff?
Never heard of him.
Hmm. It's interesting. I think you sprung from his loins. Craig Parlay, another knock on NBC's coverage. I put $5 yesterday morning on Matsuyama to win at 200-1 at DraftKings. When he got the floor under, did he mean 400? DK offered me, when he got to 4 under, I think is what he meant here. DK offered me $28 to cash out, which I passed on. However, that $28 offer changed when he was playing the 17th hole. So obviously something significant was going on. It took almost a full 5 minutes until NBC showed him flub his pitch shot. Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be delays in golf coverage, obviously, because people are playing at the same time on different holes. But 5 minutes is egregious. There was also a moment, I don't know where you saw, Scheffler retook the lead at one point at 5 under. And we only saw it on the scoreboard. And I thought to myself, do you see this, Jeff? You remember what I'm talking about?
Yes, it was
ridiculous.
Like,
what did I miss? Did I miss something? Did I go away? And they're like, oh, by the way, you may notice that Scheffler, will get back to it. So sometimes it's not their fault because too much is happening at once. But then there are absolutely conscious decisions with like the, and I get it, Burns didn't play well, so quickly their decision not to show him was justified. But this was the whole tournament they didn't show Burns. I'm talking like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And at the beginning of the day yesterday, he was essentially in the same spot that Rory was, maybe a stroke difference. And they were showing Rory birdie and bogey his way through the entire course. And Burns is like, if I want to watch Sam Burns, I guess I have to go elsewhere for this. There is hockey tonight, Stanley Cup Finals game number 3. The Avalanche up 2-0 after their absolute destruction of the Lightning on Saturday, 7-0. I think I'm supposed to say they won by a touchdown. We bring in Andy McNeil from north of the border, Edmonton, Alberta, the star of Hockey Night in Canada. How you doing, man?
Gotta stop saying that. I'm doing good, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I guess the question is very simply put, which is, is this the end of an amazing 3-year run by the Tampa Bay Lightning? Like, have they finally sort of reached the moment where everything they've overcome has just been unbelievable through the years, but this might finally be the kryptonite? An Avalanche team is that good, quite frankly? Or are we at a point where the Lightning at plus 450 might actually be a bet?
Yeah, obviously hindsight is 2020, but looking at the last two games, it sure looks like this Tampa Bay Lightning team is a bit beaten down. They look old. They look slow. They don't look like they can keep up with a faster, younger frankly, more skilled Avalanche team. But you know, it's a crazy sport, and I think we'd be foolish to count out the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't think there's much, if any, positive expected value to be had betting that plus 450 series price. But I'm at a point now where I don't really trust. Let's call it technical analysis of this series. I thought it would be a lot closer than it has been. But the Avalanche look like the far superior team. I mean, through the first two games, they owned 68% of the shots, 69% of the high danger chances, 73% of the expected goals at 5-on-5, and the Lightning's best players, simply haven't showed up. We've Nikita Kucherov just one shot through two games. Braden Point just has one shot in the two games that he's played. And now there's some reports coming out that he's not at the Lightning's practice this morning. I believe it is an optional skate. So I guess we'll find out more later today on his status. And Steven Stamkos, he's got four shots in the series.
Jeez.
But no goals to show for it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a dominant performance by the Avalanche. Colorado or Tampa Bay had just 23 shots on goal in the first game, just 16 shots in the second game. So, 39 shots on goal through two games. This is a team that was averaging 34 shots per game at home in the playoffs. So you'd think they'd be a little bit better here in game three. But, hey, we thought they were going to be better in game number mm-hmm. two after playing pretty badly in the series opener. So, I mean, I'm not really sure what to think here. I'm kind of focusing on player props and things like that because, heading into the series, I would have said the Lightning should be priced as a small favorite in game three on home ice. It really wouldn't have mattered, kind of a moot point because, of the pick 'em price, I wouldn't have saw any real value anyway. But, looking at it now, it's hard. My gut is telling me that the Avalanche are going to win this game more often than the Lightning, that's for sure.
But no play for you here.
No play on the side.
Okay. Jeff, you also just had, but now Andy just said optional skate. What's the report?
Vasilevsky wasn't there either. That's from Joe Smith, who covers the Lightning for The Athletic. No Point, no Smith. Probably would be a rest option is what the speculation is, but we'll find out when John Cooper talks in a little bit.
You're not reading anything into the Vasilevsky. Yeah, go ahead.
He could use a day off after that.
Yes, he could use a day off. So you said you're more into the player props, and you may not have any at this hour of the morning,
yeah,
but we'll give some insight what you're looking for. Oh, you do have a few. Okay. What do you got?
Yeah, so Val Nichushkin over 2.5 shots, a smaller play than the last game, given that Colorado is on the road and they probably won't generate as many shot attempts in this game. But he's been great in the playoffs. Nobody's going to wrestle away the Conn Smythe Trophy from Cale Makar at this point.
Yeah. Oh really? You don't think so? Even Nichushkin?
I don't think so. No. I mean, he's leading the team in points. He's only Bobby Orr has had a higher points per game average in the playoffs to date. McKinnon, he's still capable of doing something special and grabbing some of the attention away maybe. But the fact that those the top forwards are all kind of bunched together in as far as their point totals go, I think Makar has done enough to separate himself from the pack. And so many comparisons are being made to him being one of the all time greats that we're kind of watching here. So.
Makar minus 200, by the way, at this point.
Yeah, it makes sense, right? Yeah. It's Nichushkin's been the hot talk of the hockey world these past couple of games, though. He's been great all playoffs. He came into the playoffs registering at least three shots on goal in 18 of his last 23 games. He's done it 11 out of 16 games in the playoffs. He's got 11 shots already in this series, playing on a line with Landeskog and McKinnon. He leads the NHL playoffs in chances off the rush, according to SportLogic. And he's going to get plenty of those rush chances playing with those two players. But the two player props that I really like, kind of a new market. I haven't seen this one offered very often. Plus minus, obviously, whether or not a plus for being on the ice when a goal is scored, a minus for being on the ice when a goal is scored against, Cale Makar and Gabriel Landeskog to finish plus over 0.5. That's what they've got it lined like. Plus 125 on both players, Makar and Landeskog. Each player has finished 11 out of 16 games as a plus. Each player has only finished as a minus two times in these playoffs. So, you know, these are players that score a lot and don't allow very many goals. So I like those two player props tonight in game three.
I like that. That sounds like a great price for both. Wow. Plus a half. Talking about plus minus, plus a half for both. Okay. I like it. Andy, enjoy. Enjoy game three tonight. We'll talk soon.
All right. Good luck. Talk to you guys tonight in primetime action.
Yes, sir. Primetime action tonight with Andy McNeil. Double dip.